Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Yes, I don't know what's coming next either. And I'm going to do the stools thing again. And I said that and you chuckled, but I really don't. So I'm going to open in prayer, and then we're going to go, okay? Thank you for your grace. Thank you that in the middle of our mess, you pour out your love, your provision, your blessing, your jewels. I love you. Hear our hearts, oh God. Come into our midst. Challenge us to draw close to you, to keep our eyes firmly on you, that we will not shrink back. I ask that today, as they hear from the echoes, that they'll be challenged in their own walk, as I'm challenged in my own walk. And we give you glory. We give you glory because you do all things well, even in our weakness. Amen. So, I have some thank yous. You'll hear thank yous throughout the morning. But I'm going to start with a confession. And it's not a hard confession because people have been with me all week. And the confession is I've been a mess all week. I have a real peace about the cancer diagnosis and where I'm at health-wise. So it's not that I'm wrestling with that. God is faithful in that. But, I told Dennis yesterday morning, like, I can't even take care of myself. How come I'm still battling for control? I mean, it's ridiculous when I know I can't even take care of myself. But I still battle for control. And I was so frustrated the other night, which my doctor tells me is grief that I'm not who I once was, which is true. And I went to bed frustrated the other night, and I didn't sleep well. And the minute I opened my eyes, God said, "You didn't even ask me to help with that." And I did. And he did. That's my confession. And I tell you that because one of the things that troubles me walking through this is that people keep saying, "You're so strong." No, I am a hot mess, and God's grace is all over me. God's grace is all over me and the grace of so many people around. And so I'm going to be in trouble, so start praying now because probably about 1 o'clock I'm going to get it. But the first thank you I want to do, you guys have me a mess this morning. The first thank you I want to do is I'm going to make my husband stand up. Dennis, you're my husband. Because when I tell you I have a bad week, he's having a worse week. And his patience and his grace, I feel like especially in the last couple of weeks, he is the one that bandages me up, encourages me, prays for me, shoves me out the door. Knowing that when I come home, he's going to have to do it again because I won't have anything left. People talk about how much I do, but I can only do it because he's behind me and he's been behind me for 40 years in ministry. And you need to hear that. And then the second person I'm going to recognize real quick is the 9 and a half fingered Honduran. Tiff, will you stand? As so many of you know, she's in her own recovery from her accident. And she finally gets released to travel, and she comes, and she has to put up with me all week. I'm not always pleasant. It's been so good to have her here. It was so good to have her share at the women's conference yesterday. And just, we talk throughout the day almost every single day. And you know, for her to, she is my spiritual challenger. You know, she's the one that says, like, well, but you've always said this. And if I was in front of her, I would slap her mouth. And so I appreciate her being here and all that she's done for me this week. Oh, yeah, and in January with the brain thing, God loved both of them. You know, when other people are going, like, you were really mean to them. And I have no memory of it. But they both have just been tremendous. And I say that because they really are the ones that patch me up and send me out the door, and they do it willingly because they believe in the kingdom work. Now, I am going to ask Laura Prothrow to stand, Brett Bird, Joseph Coltrane, where did he go? Okay. And Brees Kisick, where is she? Oh, you got to get to the light, sister. You know, Dennis patches me up and sends me out the door. And through this journey this year, in September, these guys knew, they knew I was sick. And I told them yesterday that Dennis sends me out the door going, like, you got to go see the echoes. Because he knows that when I come home, my spirit is full. And I'm more myself than I've ever been. This group has carried a ton. They've had to do it alone oftentimes. They've worked together as a team. And every day when I come, I would say to them, like, I'm only going to be here so many hours. And I didn't want to leave. Because I love nothing more than just sharing with them. We laugh, we cry, we argue, we battle. But we leave full. And so for you four specifically, I'm so thankful that God had you here this year. I'm so thankful for the way that you fed my spirit and my soul and comforted me and encouraged me. I feel guilty over it, but I'm really thankful. And I want the congregation to know what strong leaders you are at every level. So you can sit down for a minute because I'm going to continue talking. And then I'm a mess this morning for half a dozen reasons. When Chad asked me to take Echo, I remember he kept saying to me, like, put something on Facebook. Let them know about you. And we had just learned that we were having our first grandchild. And I said to him, like, Chad, no young adult is going to want to come spend time with a grandmother. Like, that is not going to be the big draw to Echo. I have done all kinds of things in my life. This one was really intimidating to me. Because I was old, and I was having to face that. I denied it for a long time, but I was having to face that. But I just kept saying, I was like, they're not going to want to hang out with me. This is going to be a disaster. And I really felt that way. And then Matthew, in his complimentary way, said some things early on that I was like, and he'd like, no, that's a compliment. I'm like, yeah, no, it's not. So I had to kick him out of Echo for a while. It was just too emotionally draining. So as I walked in this morning, and I saw echoes gathered from the first year of Echo that I started teaching to today, God started speaking to me saying, what are you afraid of? We disqualify ourselves. Do not disqualify yourself. So I'm going to ask, if you have been part of our Echo program, will you stand? We have the Trinity that Melissa talked about. Oh, good. I was going to say, Sean and Heather are serving. They serve North Rock in children's, and Sean's doing a Bible study. You don't know what it means. Jordan came from Missouri, right? Missouri? And Austin will be here tonight to grill burgers. You know, I talked about these four, but I will tell you that I've had texts and messages and encouragement from this group of young people who know me at my worst because they've traveled with me. And sometimes I'm fun when I'm tired, and sometimes I'm not fun even when I'm rested. And And they know the horror of it. And so to see you guys here and to sit here was just God saying, like, what have you been doing all week with your mind and with your emotions, Debbie? Because all the silly things you were worried about this week, I was getting ready to show you my blessing. And this is my blessing. And I want to recognize you, and I want to thank you. So that's my thank you. Y'all can be seated. I always, I kind of like to give you a rundown, because if you're not with us, you don't know the crazy schedule that everybody keeps. And I missed it so bad this year. They would leave town. I'd get so depressed. Just going like, oh, I wish they'd been there. They're like, we're doing this. And I'm like, shut up and don't text me. I didn't. I really didn't. So, this year, they visited Kansas, Missouri, Tennessee, Florida, Washington, Washington, D.C., Nevada, South Dakota, El Salvador, and Honduras. They traveled 19,677 miles. Alone. And for the most part, they stayed in budget. Hallelujah. That, to me, is one of the, and they say that, that's one of the fun parts, is that you get to see so many different areas and cultures and meet people from other programs and do so many different things. At North Rock, they have served in children's, oh, it's sticky head, I don't have hair to make it go. They've served in children's, youth, young adults, worship teams, ushers, CR, women's conference, community family nights, on the creative team, on Operation Christmas Child. They've led Bible studies. They've cleaned the church. They've helped with funerals. And they even prepared for meals for families that needed help. And I will say that there's very little grumbling. We may get overwhelmed and get snippy with each other, but there's never like, why are we doing this? Somebody else should be doing this. Why? There's just none of that. They just go. They have worked both the district conference in Kansas City and the national conference in Nashville. They've served at Hope Boulder Church for the worship team and children throughout the year. And they worked with Sterling Foursquare, being trained in worship and leading services. So grass did not grow under their feet at all this year. They've completed online LPC classes and other educational components that were needed because everything's individualized. We've done 12 book studies over the last 2 years. One of the things I love is everybody walks in and I'm like, we're going to be reading books, and every time everybody's like, I don't like to read. And in Nashville, when they were in Nashville, I was here, I start getting phone calls and they're like, have you read this book? I think I'm going to buy this book. I'm like, yes! Because they become learners, and they learn to love to read. And then they brought me a book, which is even nicer. but I love that they become hungry. And so they've done that. They will have worked 7 youth camps by the end of this summer. And that's not fun. It is hot, sticky, and a lot of work. I'm going to transition. You know, I love Honduras because I really love the missionary we have there. And I didn't get to go this year. So Sean, a former Echo, took the team. Again, yikes. Took the team. And it was an eventful year in so many ways. But the part I want to concentrate on today, and Tiffany, I'm going to put you on the spot because I never got a text back. I did text. We were in the same house, but I did text. Can you just stand up and yell? You're loud, and I know it, so don't play games. Can you stand up and just talk a little bit about all the places you visited and the impact that they had? Or you can come up and use the mic.
Hello, everybody. Hello. So during the 2 weeks in El Salvador and Honduras, we opened a new feeding program in a village. We traveled to a village that we could only get to by boat and did a kids outreach there. We went to the dump where we also have a kids ministry. You guys can help me too because I don't even remember what all we did. We went to the orphanage and held babies. We went to a nursing home. We went to 3 public schools and did assemblies there. We did lots of stuff, but we saw over 300 kids and youth give their lives to Christ during the time that Echo was there with us. So, yeah, they were great.
I love that. They were so worried about the gospel before they went. They were like, how are we going to share the gospel? And the first text I got, it was like, over 40 kids gave their heart to Christ. I'm like, they must know, figured out. And so they saw just a ton of salvations, experienced things that are just indescribable. Get onto a boat and go out into a river of hope and to go to a village is just crazy to me. But that's why she only has 9.5 fingers. What do we say? So one of the hallmarks that I didn't anticipate when we started, I always like to talk about unexpected outcomes because we can have expectations and sometimes we're disappointed and sometimes we measure them. But God's always in the unexpected outcomes. So when I started working with Echo, I did not anticipate the community. One of the things that I have loved is that the former Echoes have built relationship with current Echoes. And, you know, I told you a couple weeks ago that one of the things that new Echoes hate is that the eye contact is like somebody will say something, somebody will make eye contact. I'm like, why are you looking at them? But they all have it no matter what year they're from. You know, and they can start a sentence about, they just know. I love that. I love their heart for service. I love that they come in and go like, hey, I noticed this. We should do this. That their heart is already looking for service. And then I love that they've learned to value character over talent. And we can all go, but that's a hard thing to be really talented and to be set on the sidelines, and several of them have done that and been willing to go through it because they've learned to value it. And they'll see it now, and they'll go like, oh, man, I hope they learn this. I'm really praying about this because they've learned to value it. The other thing that I want to acknowledge about the Echo program is that they have become seekers of truth. Now, these are my dumplings, and they know that they're my dumplings, but they also know that they're not perfect dumplings. And so when you come back 4 or 5 years later, knowing that my eyes may pop out at you and that I'm going to smack you verbally, but you come back, I know you're a seeker of truth. And I love that. I love that I can still have conversations with them, and they may not like what I have to say, but they still want to hear it because they want to follow God with everything. And they say it to each other across the lines, which is even sweeter. That is our Echo program. So at this time, I'm going to have the Fab Four come up. And they're going to share a little bit about what they've learned in the last 2 years. I want to say something about Brent because Brent actually graduated last year. And we had a third-year program. And Brent was our kind of border guy. And again, everything's a little differently. And so we went back and forth about, like, what does it need to look like for you? And I am so thankful that he was just willing to do whatever needed to happen. Because he was kind of like our rudder. He was our steady. He knew the lay of the land. He knew kind of what was expected, and he was willing to bridge that gap between the third years and the second years. Sean and Heather have been tremendous in helping out in my absence this year and leading and encouraging and friending and driving them. But I want to say that Brent's not graduating from Echo because he already has. But there's been so much growth in him, and I just appreciate him being willing to come and to hang and to still be hungry and want to grow. It's funny because we've had the last couple of 2 or 3 weeks, like we're nearing the end, so in our mind it should be like all about celebration, and God's been doing so much in the last 2 or 3 weeks in each one individually. And so I laughed because Brent was telling me this week, he was like, I asked for it. And I'm like, you did? Like, he was like, I just knew. And so I went and asked, and I was like, Good, good, good. There's the growth. There's the part that we wanted to see is like him taking ownership. So we're going to start with Laura. Laura, who walked in, and one of the first things I said to her is like, you are mighty, and you will be treated like you are mighty. You do not need to be taken care of. You will walk as a leader. And we've had some convincing to do. One, for a couple of reasons. We have to be careful what we say to people. So we reinforce things with people. So we like to say things like, oh, you're this, you're this, you're this. You know what? Be really careful what you say. I had somebody, Bree spoke yesterday, and she said, she shared that that God had shown her a couple of things about herself. And afterwards, somebody was like, that's not true. You're not that at all. I'm like, Holy Spirit convicts somebody. You don't tell them the Holy Spirit's wrong. You just let them bathe in that for a minute. You know, we have to be careful what we speak over what people and what we discard. And so Laura's been, what I appreciate about her is, with all of them, is that they come back. I kind of feel like sometimes, you know, those punching bag things that fall to the ground and then pop back up again. I often go home and I just remember the look on their face. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, get them through it, get them through it. But Laura's been one of those people that she wrestles through it. And then she comes back, but she hears and she learns and she's growing and she's committed to growing. The other thing that I love about Laura is when she walked in, she did not know that she loved to learn. And so that was part of the thing that we ended up doing with her, is really helping her learn that she liked to learn and the skills to just be a self-learner. And so it's been fun. I can't tell you how many times in the last few months, especially, she'll go like, oh, wait, I learned about that. Or she'll come back and she'll say, I looked up that. And I love that because she'll be able to be a self-feeder. And she'll continue to grow, and she values that in her life. But she is also mighty, because when she decides to walk in who she is, there's nobody stronger or more confident. And then, this is a skill I don't have, she really likes people. I mean, isn't that true? Like, we'll put her in a group of 5,000 strangers and she'll come back and know 3,000 names. And they'll all know her name. I'm like, how do you do that? But I've heard her just go like, so what did you think about this? I'm like, where did that question come from? So she's been challenging to learn from, because that is a skill I wish I had more of.
So my name is Laura, hi.
Oh, they
knew your name now. Nice. And I want to share my testimony, but it's more based off of what God's been teaching me in the past few weeks, not necessarily like when I became a Christian when I was 13. It's been a hard journey, but I want to start off by sharing my favorite verse. It's Exodus 14:14. And it says, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Another version I heard very recently was, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. I like that a little bit more, because we talk about the difference between calm and peace. We settle for calm because it looks pretty, but peace is when there's actually a result. There's actually something that's there. And I might have worded that wrong, but that's kind of how I see it. And so with that, we did a skit in Honduras, and it was based off of this book called You Are Special. And I'm going to tell you that little story about You Are Special. It's a story about Eli. Eli makes all of these little wooden people, and they're called Wemmicks. And Eli loves all the Wemmicks. He thinks they're all individual, they're all special. And the Wemmicks decide that they need to give each other value instead of Eli giving them value. So they have stickers. If they're ugly, they get a dot. If they're beautiful, they get a star. If they mess up in something, oh, that's a dot. And if they are amazing, if they're talented, they get a beautiful sticker, a star. And there's one specific Wemmick whose name is Punchinello. Punchinello is covered in dots. Because he's ugly, he's not good at anything, obviously, because he has no stars. And so we did this. Sorry, I have to finish the story. I was going to move on. So Punchinello meets this girl named Lucere. Lucere has no stickers at all, no stars or dots. And he asks her, why? Why don't you have stickers? Where did this come from? And she's like, I just go and see Eli every day. That's all I do. You should go see Eli, she says. And so he decides to go. And when he sees Eli, Eli tells him how special he is and how he made him very specific. And so he asks, Punchinello asks, why don't the stickers stick on the chair? And the answer Eli gave was, because they don't matter to her. Because what I think is more important to her than what everyone else thinks. And so we performed this in Honduras to an audible story thing, and I played Punchinello. And it was really cool at the time. It was fun. But literally, and it was funny, actually, because when we were in Honduras, and even to this day, Tiffany calls me Punchinello when I stumble or when I say something funny or when I just make a mistake, they call me Punchinello. Like, oh, no, Punchinello. it was actually just a few weeks ago when I was processing through some really hard stuff and God told me, Laura, you are Punchinello. And you have a lot sticking to you. But he also told me that there have been some stickers that have fallen and that there's victory there. And that's encouraging because it reminds me that the stickers that are still here, the more and more I seek him, the more and more they're going to fall. So an example is I struggled with fantasy. When I say fantasy, I mean imagining everything. My life was in my head. I couldn't have authentic relationship because all the relationships I had, I would imagine them differently or I would make them what I wanted. And I suffered with this my whole first year. And then it came up when I came back for a second year. And when I first saw it, I was like, oh gosh, this is never going to end. How am I going to get out of my own head? This is impossible. And in that specific area, that's a sticker that was very noticeable to me. And that seemed impossible. But the more and more I looked at God, the more and more I stepped forward and just said, okay, God, change my heart. Okay, God, I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to trust you. This is something that I have to give to you. I looked down one day and that was gone. It was amazing because I can't even tell you when it happened. And that's why I know that God was the one who did it. And so go back to that verse. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. That's amazing. And I know that with all these other stickers that seem impossible, literally there's so many things that I'm struggling with right now. And God is still saying, just look at me, Laura. One day you're going to look down. And it's going to be gone. But you have trust me. And even if it's not, he's good. And that's a big lesson I've learned. So when I just sit with him, there's peace. And it doesn't have to look pretty because I know that he's in control and that he is the one who fights. He speaks truth by, he fights for me by speaking truth. He fights for me by being in relationship with me. And I loved that verse for a long time because it made him look almighty and like he was going to come in and save me. But there's a part that I have to do, and that's by sitting with God and just trusting him. So that's what I'm walking away with from Echo and what God's done in my life. This season has been hard. This next season is going to probably be harder. But that lesson is huge. Just sitting with him, whatever comes up, is huge for me to walk out with.
Now, Mr. Joseph. Joseph is like a gift that you're always surprised at. Every time I open the box, I'm like, what? There's so much to him. I don't know that I've ever met anybody who has a heart as tender as he has, especially for the lot, no matter who it is. Joseph sees everything that's going on. He prays about everything that's going on. He loves fiercely. He does not like to speak. Although he's getting so much better. He does not like to speak, but when he does speak, I can't even tell you how many times I just come home and I'm like, and then Joseph said, and Dennis will go like, Joseph? And I'm like, yes. And then when they were in Honduras, Tiffany, and we were talking about it this morning, she's like, and that's who everybody in Honduras asked for. She kept going like, I love Joseph. Joseph this, Joseph that. And I'm like, Joseph works so hard to stay in the background, but just who he is shines so brightly. And there's such a depth and a passion and a love. And the first week he walked in, he just goes, can I talk to you? And he walked in and he pretty much knew what his big battle was. And he just laid it out in truth. And never shied away from it, never backed away from it, made himself accountable and vulnerable before the group. And because of the way that he handled his struggle, when Joseph spoke when somebody else was in a struggle, we had confidence that he knew the way out. And so I really just want to say about how special he is. The strength, the wisdom, the intellect. If you get to spend some time with him, he's a little bit like Jordan in that. Remember how quiet Jordan was, who's here? Which Tiffany is now calling Ginger Jesus. But I tell you, she's so much like Dennis, it's unbelievable. But if you get to spend some time with Joseph, you'll walk away challenged just by that heart that he has. And so I'm going to let Joseph share.
Normally, I would say my name here as an introduction, but that's already been done. So I learned three major things going through this program for 2 years. And the first one being whenever God says he wants all of us, he means it. He wants all of us, not the parts that we want to hold back, but all of it. And he will not stop, and he will not stop pursuing us until we give him everything. The next thing that I have really learned in these 2 years is there is power in community. And to someone who still likes to be alone, I'm going to quote Ecclesiastes and say, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. With someone who falls alone, there is no one to pick them up. So we need community. We are made for community. And this last thing, it really shows off the power of God, because while we were in Honduras at that orphanage, I had $166 that I wasn't going to spend on souvenirs, but I wasn't sure what yet. So I saw all these kids fighting over broken toys and pieces of plastic. I didn't like that. So I bought $166 worth of toys for the orphanage. Nice. And yes. No. And yes, God was in the middle of that, but that's not the cool part. It's not. Anyway. So the cool part to that story is that in case to anyone who was here on Good Friday, if you were wondering why there was a $20 bill nailed to the cross, I'm about to tell you why. So I was trying to figure out what to do with my money for Honduras, and God said, nail $20 to the cross, and that I would get it back. I didn't chalk it up to anything. If I got it back, cool. If I didn't, oh well. But the thing is, I got it back. On like the second to last day we were there, the pastor we were staying with, his wife gave me $20, and it didn't hit me until 3 minutes later. I just got my money back. That's the cool part. My point in telling that story is this. Whenever God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. We don't know how it's going to look, but he's going to do it. And now for the question I'm probably going to be getting later tonight, and I have gotten several times throughout at least this month now. What are you going to do after Echo? I don't know. And I'm okay with that.
Thanks, Brent. All right. The other thing I didn't tell you about Joseph had moved out and was living on his own. We met him at a camp. He was a worker at the camp. He was a counselor at the camp, a leader at the camp. And another Vogel thing, Jordan met him and started talking to him, and he just kept saying to him, like, we need to let him come. He needs to come. And he gave up a job. He was living out on his own. He was very independent. And he came back to Echo, and never once did he give me a hard time about, I've been on my own. I don't need to follow your rules. This is ridiculous. when he said he gave, when he said he was obedient, he was obedient. He just came in and said, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I am fully in. And so that's an impressive thing for a young man to be willing to do that. I talked a little bit about Brent, and Brent's almost not even the same person. When I first got Brent, it was like getting a baby. Not because I'll tell you why. Because like we would travel, and we were traveling in a van at the time, and Brent would always get in the back seat. And the only time we saw him is if he had to go to the bathroom or he wanted food. Like the rest of the time, Brent was like, he was in his own little world, and he'd wake up going, need the bathroom. Then he'd go back, go to sleep, and then he'd wake up going, hungry. And we all just responded. Somebody like, Brent's waking up, we're going to probably need to get snacks. And so to see him this year so fully engaged and leading and guiding and being that rudder has been so cool. He wasn't a baby like, wah, but his basic needs and his interaction with us was like really like, I'm hungry, I'm sleepy, leave me alone. And now he really has a heart for the whole team and has done a tremendous job of intentionally walking out those areas that he needed to walk out.
So what's up, everybody? My name is Brent. I mean, I don't know how else to introduce myself. She's already introduced me. But so I've been in this church and with Echo for almost 3 years now. And there's two things that I found super, super valuable. The first thing is how to walk through my emotions and to, like, understand them. Because for the longest time, I thought you felt your emotions and then you acted on them. And so God made me to be a super, super strong emotional person. And so anytime I get angry, I just act on it, start yelling and screaming and, you know, doing angry things because I thought that's what I had to do. I didn't realize that whenever God made me to be emotional, he made me to feel them. He didn't make me to act on them. And so using Debbie, God taught me that your emotions are to be used like a gauge. If you're feeling way up here, like hot-headed or angry, if you're way down here depressed and cold, that's like a gauge that you're not balanced out with God. You're not on the right track with God. And so for a while I had this revelation and stuff, but I didn't know what to do with it because I just sit there. I'm like, well, okay, I'm angry. What do I do with this? So then I just sit there and get angrier and angrier and angrier, and I would just get anxious and I wouldn't know what to do with it. And I think it's Philippians 4 says, like, don't be anxious, just be thankful and, like, pray about it. And I'd be like, okay, well, then what the heck do I need to do? And, like, as soon as I read that, the second thing that I learned is that if God shows you something, he's going to have a path for you to walk down. He's going to have, like, an open door for you to walk through. And, like, as soon as I read that, it'd been, like, months that I was super emotional, super angry, super anxious because I didn't know how to get through these emotions. I had, like, half of the puzzle. But then I started realizing all the different ways that he's got people around me. He's got just the Bible that has the truth in it. He's got my support system. He's got my host parents. He's got my family. He's got so much around me that is there to support me. I don't have to just sit there and fume in my anger. I don't have to sit there and just be angry or be depressed. That whenever he shows me that I'm angry or I'm down, that I can go to somebody, I can go to him. There's always a way out of it. And I can just find peace whenever I'm with him. So.
And finally, Brees. What can we say about Brees? Brees is another one that had her path very well set. She was enrolled in school. She had rented a house with some friends to live in. And when we met her at camp, I was shocked because she was there as a leader again. And I was shocked because all of a sudden she comes up and she's like, can I talk to you about Echo? And my first response was like, why are you talking to me about Echo? I'm like, you've got your path. And she said to me, I feel like I'm supposed to come. If I'm supposed to come, everything will work out. And then I got a call a few weeks later and she's like, I'm coming. And what I love about her as well is she's an obedient follower. She'll wrestle it. I like a good debate when it's with people I can win with. But but so she'll ask questions. We've had discussions and she'll like, wait. What about this? What about that? But once she knows the truth, then she will be obedient to walk that out. And she will make life changes to walk that out. And it's inspiring to watch a young woman do that, and to see and to be able to mark. I think we could all sit and tell you areas where we've seen that growth in her and a decision. Including this week, and she shared this yesterday, so I'm going to share it. She felt like she was supposed to do the women's conference yesterday as her final year project. And when we got down to it on Thursday and Friday and we're working out the details, some things surfaced. You know, Holy Spirit brought some things to light that we hadn't seen before. And so I had to kind of push on her a little bit. And how long did you say you cried on Friday?
From 4 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Okay, from 4 p.m. to 1 a.m. Which is always comforting as a leader when somebody cries that long. And she wrestled it out. And then yesterday was such a beautiful day. And at the end of it, she was thankful. She looked at me and she was like, seriously, I'm graduating this weekend and we have to do this now? I don't think he's worried about the certificate, Bruce. But I like it that she was able to say that and to wrestle it out and to be authentic in it. But then when I walked in on Saturday, we spent a few minutes together and I saw the commitment. Like, she was like, I'm fully in. She still wasn't comfortable, but she was fully in. And then to watch her walk it out, remind me, I got a story for y'all. Because it was a Julia Honduras moment. So to see her walk it out, but to see when I looked at her yesterday morning, I'm like, I have nothing to fear, because she was fully in. And then I just watched her be vulnerable and open and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit yesterday and do such a great job.
Well, thank you, Debbie. So the three things that I'm walking away with after Echo are that God is faithful, that God is always with me, and that God is always good. And so this year has been, yeah, amen. This year has been absolutely unpredictable and crazy. Like, there's been so many things that have been, like, flipped upside down that we never could have expected. One of the most obvious ones is Debbie getting sick. But through all of that, God provided so much. Like, seeing Debbie every time that we got was just so good with her. And then any trip that we went on, we had somebody leading us and guiding us and walking with us through that. And God has just continued to give us the skills as leaders to walk through just everything that we've been through. Some of the other stories are we ended up homeless in Nashville at the conference. And that was just wild. Like, the hotel that we were supposed to stay at, they ended up closing the doors and, like, locking the doors, and so we couldn't get in. And then every single hotel around us was booked, and so we ended up not sleeping pretty much the whole night. We went back to the airport, and we slept in the airport for like 2 hours, got a rental car, went to breakfast, and then we went to volunteer that same day, like, after getting no sleep. And we volunteered for like 6 hours that day. And it was just crazy. Like, the whole time, God provided all of the energy we needed. We were all, like, joyful and happy. And, like, we didn't bicker at all, which was crazy for us because we get on each other's nerves, like, a lot, because we spend so much time together. But God just provided so much through that also. And then it was so cool, too, because we went to Planet Fitness. Marissa had membership there, and we all got in to go, like, shower, and we got to use the hydro massage and all of that, so it was like a good morning after breakfast and stuff. And then we got to minister to two of the gentlemen that work at the Planet Fitness, and so that was just, like, incredible to see God provide and move in that. And then another crazy thing was the accident in Honduras, or El Salvador, actually, but that was, like, completely unpredictable, obviously, and, like, turned us upside down, literally, some of us, them, but so that was just crazy. But we saw God provide and heal Tiffany so quickly and incredibly, and Brent and Laura, like, being absolutely fine and everything just, like, working out in God's plan, and the fact that we made it home safely and had leaders and had people surrounding us the whole time. That's just been absolutely amazing to see. So there's been so many different things that have been crazy, but also just, like, seeing God's provision through all of that makes me so much more faithful in the fact that God is faithful and that God is good and that God is always with me.
I'm going to give this disclaimer because they do get on each other's nerves. But I can't tell you, like, they would have traveled for 2 weeks. And then I'd like, you guys have 3 days off. You need to unplug and rest. And then I would talk to them and like, oh, we've been hiking. We've done this together. And then they were like, oh, they're driving me crazy. I'm like, you don't have to be with them. But they wanted to be together. They couldn't separate. So it was always kind of funny to me, like, you guys need a break from each other. Not because you don't love each other, but we all need breaks. So that was the team. One of the things that, you know, we've talked about God going before. We didn't have any first year echoes this year, which thank you, Jesus. Because it would have been so difficult to have first year echoes because they're a nightmare. But I'm joking. I love them, but they're a nightmare. We didn't have any first year echoes. And then in September, we got a call from Hope Boulder, who the head of FMI's wife was the pastor there. And they just said, like, hey, we need some support. Can your echoes come out every couple weeks and help us with some of our church service stuff? And I talked to them, and they're like, yes. And when the accident happened in El Salvador and I got the call, I do what I always do when I'm in trouble and I can't do it myself. I called Brian, and I said, like, I'm dumping on you. And so Brian started working on some of the flight stuff that I needed and taking care of that part. And he told his brother Bruce, who worked for FMI. And one of the first messages I got was from the head of FMI because he knew the echoes. And he's like, what do they need? And so they jumped in and started working. And I said to them, like, we didn't know in September when you made that commitment that God was going to knit that together in June. May. Whenever they were there. But he tied that all up. And so what a huge thing. You go, if we let him show himself in our lives, he shows himself in our lives. And so this is the group. Aren't they fantastic? So I'm going to close with this. I'm going to go to Philippians 2. And I share this every single year. This morning it seems, can you hold a second? Even more special to me. You know, as a leader and as a parent, we know this. Oftentimes people do things and say things in front of you. But when you're gone or your head is turned, that's not who they portray. And my first year of Echo, I felt like God really gave me Philippians 2 to share with them. And sitting here this morning, I'm going to read it again. And so it's Philippians 2, starting with 12. And it says, and I say this to former, present, future Echo. Therefore, my dear friends, and you are my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among the stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. That's the legacy of North Rock and their Echo program. So at this time, I would like to ask the leadership of North Rock, the pastoral staff, the count, anybody on the council, that we could come and pray over them and charge them to the future. As you saw this morning, there's fruit. There are still young people pushing forward in ministry and with a heart and a passion for the church, not only this church, but churches throughout the state and in other states. And God has blessed us with that. I've heard from almost every ex-Echo this week. And they're all pursuing Jesus. There's struggle. There's things that they're in the middle of. But they're still pursuing Jesus. They're still searching for truth. And I will say that one of the things I love is how much they love the body and how much love they feel from the body. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making a place for them.
Well, if you would, we'd ask that you'd participate in this prayer with us by extending your hand. And by doing that, you're just saying we agree that the rivers of living water of the Holy Spirit is flowing through these young people. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the work that you have begun and that you will complete in these leaders. Father, we thank you for the wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit and the blessing that we see standing before us today. Lord, we thank you for the hundreds and hundreds of hours of ministry and service and love that they've expressed in your name as we've gathered together to grow together and to go back out on mission together. Lord, I thank you, and we celebrate their lives. But Lord, we celebrate your faithfulness in them, in every circumstance and every challenge that we face. We know you to be faithful and strong and true. And Lord, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for North Rock and the families that sent these kids, Lord, because we know that as we rejoice and we suffer together, Lord, you are lifted up. And so, Lord, my prayer is that you would continue to speak to these leaders in Jesus' name. Lord, you would give them direction and the next steps to the way that you want to develop their lives and release their call to see your name lifted high. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. All right. Well, as we conclude our services here, we do have one more item that we want to address, and that is the presentation of the certificates of completion for Brees and the North Rock Church Emerging Leaders Network Program. For Brees. And Laura, Miss Laura, here's yours. And Joseph. Joseph, God bless you guys. We love you. We love you. Well, with that being said, we're going to dismiss. But before we dismiss, we're going to pray a prayer that we pray every week here at North Rock that really is the underlying bedrock of the message and the ministry of Echo. Debbie, Echoes, we're so stinking proud of the depth of ministry that was just displayed on this stage. And we're thankful for all that you're doing. So with that being said, let's pray this prayer and then we will dismiss. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen. You know we pray it a lot when I mess it up and you guys keep on cue. So, hey, God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock. We love you.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.